Thanks, Sam, for the words of welcome this morning. It's good to be back with you, sharing fellowship with you again here in Shiloh. It's good to be back with you in fellowship with people who we've come to love over many, many years now. So thank you for having me. Thank you for the welcome. And thank you, Brother David, for the invitation to come again this morning. And we're turning to Hebrews chapter 11. In the earlier part of the meeting, we mentioned this great chapter of faith this morning, and that's where we want to turn to. And I want to speak on the subject of faith this morning and look at it in some different ways. We're just going to take time to read the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11 together, please. And I've been wrestling with certain parts of this all week and still haven't got it to where I'm content with it, but we'll just trust the Lord to lead us as we go along this morning. Now, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, in it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before this translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And what a testimony that is. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, and incorruptible word of truth. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. But what is faith? James Cox said, faith is the capacity to trust God while not being able to make sense out of everything. The capacity to trust God when we are not able to understand any sense out of what's going on. The Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, said, faith is reason at rest in God. Whatever's going on around me, I can trust God, even when I haven't got a clue what's happening to me. Another said, faith never fears that it will ever draw or overdraw at the bank of heaven. And I, as a banker, here's a bank that you cannot overdraw on. The bank of heaven, and we will never overdraw from it. I hear people say, I have no faith. I say absolute rubbish this morning. Every one of you came into this meeting this morning. Those who are watching the internet are most likely sitting down. Everyone sat on the chair they're sitting in. And the no concerns, they had the faith that that chair was going to hold their weight and not buckle beneath them. You pay your fare, you get in a bus. You have the faith that that bus is going to take you where you paid the fare to take you to. Some of you opened a box of cornflakes for your breakfast this morning. You had the faith to believe it wasn't a box of spinach when you got inside it. Some of you will take a £10 note and you'll spend it. I don't have them. It's only Scotsmen like give you £10 notes. But you have the faith that that will buy you £10 worth of goods. You ask a friend for advice. You have faith in the advice that he is going to give you. And there are 1,001 other ways which people display faith every day of life. When people make a statement that they have no faith, what they mean is they lack in spiritual faith. But in verse 1 it said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And therefore I want to take up this great subject of faith in the time that I have left this morning. It's a great gift, yet it's often underutilized by the believer. The reality this morning, some of us never get past saving faith. And that's all we ever have. We never ever develop a surrendered faith. We never ever develop a faith that serves. And we ever never ever develop a sure faith. We often do not trust God in our circumstances. We question things. Sometimes that things come into our lives and faith that we have disappears, or sometimes even isn't crushed. When problems come, we turn to others. We don't turn to the Lord. We don't turn to the promises of the Word of God. And the reality is, many believers this morning, we sit in the premises, but we never still have the faith to stand on the promises. And so what I want to look at, as time permits me this morning, is to look at where it comes from. To understand the extent of our faith and to see where we are this morning. And to see how we can develop this faith of ours this morning. First thing I want to do is to look at the size of faith. And in the study this week, I've been honest with myself. And I trust that each of us will be honest with ourselves and understand where we are this morning. You see, there's such a thing as little faith. Two Gospels record a difficult circumstance when the Lord challenged the disciples regarding little faith. Do you remember the incident? They get into a ship. Saviour's been teaching. And they're hardened sailors. And the sea has been calm and it's lapping the side of the boat. The situation's all well following the Saviour's teaching. But he goes down to the back of the boat now and he goes to sleep. And you know what happens. The sky darkens over. The stars and the moon are blacked out. The tide begins to swell. And the storm begins to break and the howling wind and the rain and the lightning begins to fall in the little boat. And the sea begins to be in the boat. The sailors are in significant jeopardy. And as a sad fear comes and he shakes the Lord and he stills the storm and the Saviour's rebuke come. He says in Mark 4 verse 40 about their no faith, he says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And I have to be honest this morning, there's times when my life, when faith gets shaken. We're so often we turn to ourselves. Turn to our sinful self. We're prone to fail. One minute we're up and the next we're down. We're totally unreliable. And then we turn to others and they're in the same boat as us. They're up, they're down. And they're unreliable too. They're prone to the same faults as what we are. And some maybe talk a good game, but they're still only men at the heels of the hunt. And the reality this morning is this. When the circumstances come and they shake the little boat of our life, is the Lord the first one we turn to. Now I say this to my shame this morning. As you know, over the past couple of years I had a few cancer scares. And I never once did I lose a moment's sleep about it. Never once. I knew that it was well with my soul and if the Lord touched me and healed me that would be great, but if he didn't that would be even better. I never once lost a moment's sleep. But the shame in me is this. When I was diagnosed, rather than turn to the Lord and talk to him in prayer, first thing I did was pick the phone up and speak to my wife. My mistake. I went to the wrong person first. When trouble comes, who's the first person we go to? Do we trust the Lord? The Lord said they had no faith. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, he says this, and he saith unto them, why are ye faithful? O ye of little faith. He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Again I say this morning, what about me in the storms of life? How do I react? When other issues come along my way. When tough times come, when the tribulations come, when the difficulties come in life. How's your faith? Little faith? No faith. And when each trial comes along, why is faith still so little at each new trial despite him proving himself time after time after time? No faith. Little faith. Richard Dunn said, an untried faith is a worthless faith. And the reality is, if we don't have those trials and we don't have those tests, our faith will never grow and our faith will be worthless. No faith, little faith. What about a weak faith? In Romans chapter 14, verse 1, Paul pens these words. He says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." John Bride said in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus often rebukes weak faith, but he never rejects it. This morning, we have a tendency in the Lord's army to kick a soldier who's down and his faith is weak. Is that what we should do? Scorn him? Ridicule her? No, of course not. We must love them. We must put an arm around them. We must encourage them. We share experience with them and how the Lord has helped us. It was Sinclair Ferguson who said, even those of us who have a weak faith have the same strong Christ this morning. He's the same God. And brethren and sisters, this morning, when the time comes and it feels we have no faith, or our faith is weak, or our faith is little, let us learn to trust them and receive them, because he is the same Christ this morning. Little faith. But then faith can be limited in its manifestation. The reality this morning is, as I stand in the pulpit, we can have a dead faith. A dead faith. James chapter 2, verse 17, and we laboured this verse for probably a couple of weeks back in 2014 when we were doing the book of James. But it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. We can have a dead faith. John Blanchard said, idle faith is as useless as idle words. That's what an idle faith is. It's as useless as idle words. Again, going back to Spurgeon, he said, obedience is the hallmark of our faith. Now, the challenge to my heart this morning is this. Is my faith limited in obedience in my service? Is it limited in the practical Christianity I bestow on others in need? Is my faith limited this morning? We remember the example of the early church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 45. And of course the experiment failed. And I'm not telling anyone to do it this morning. They sold their possessions and good and parted to all men as every man had need. Now, it didn't work. Of course, we have to look after those who are in need this morning and all that we have is responsibility upon us. But the early church was prepared. They had the faith to do that. But that was the seal of the early church. I'm not preaching a social gospel this morning, not by any stretch of the imagination. But we need to have a practical faith, and sometimes our faith is limited in the way we manifest it. I'm reminded of Bill Woods. Bill Woods is an amazing man of God, a missionary with the Acre Gospel Mission out in Brazil. We've been out and seen the leprosy hospital with him and so on. But Dr. Bill never ever passed a science exam when he was in school in Northern Ireland. Never one science exam did that man pass. He's wandering through the jungle of Brazil. Meets a young man bitten by a snake. The young man says, "Do something. I'll pray for you." What else could Bill do? "I don't want you to pray, I want you to do something." "All I can do is pray, sir." 2 hours later, that man was dead from the poison of the snake bite. And it burnt into Bill. Bill went to medical college in Brazil. Having never passed an exam in English, he then passed every exam in Portuguese. Today, Bill is the world's leading doctor in leprosy, and he's found cures for a whole pile of other things. Faith to do something. And I look at my heart this morning. How's my faith manifest itself? Of course, the Lord Jesus is our example. Reddy quoted the words this morning earlier on when Acts 10 and 30, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Am I following my Saviour's example this morning? in exercising the faith to do all that I can in every area of my life. Little faith, limited in its manifestation, but then there's a living faith. When others examine my faith, what do they see? Do they see a faith that's living? Do they see great faith like the centurion's sick servant? Or the centurion towards his sick servant, rather. This servant who was dear to him, this one who loved the Jews and sent on to the Lord, and the Lord approached, and you know the story, and he says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even enter into my home. What did the Lord say in Luke 7 and verse 9? When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found what? So great faith. And it's not just great faith, it's so great faith, not in Israel. And I wonder this morning, when people look at Martin Thompson, what do they see? Dead faith? Little faith? No faith? Or great faith? Do I need an unsaved person or a person from a non-evangelical background to demonstrate great faith to me? And of course they're false hope and they believe what they believe implicitly, but still a false hope. But sometimes an unsaved person can display greater faith than a saved person. That's the reality. And that's shame on us this morning. But when trouble comes across my bow, difficulties and trials and tests and tribulations, do my actions match my words? I say to you this morning, if my actions do not match my words, then my words aren't believable this morning. Makes me a liar. Call a spade a spade. And if my actions don't match my words, it's a waste of my time witnessing to anybody this morning because they can't believe me. I go back to the time of the robbery. Chief of the bank told me for what they put me through, I must have a great faith to endure what was put through. I said no, just enough faith to believe in him, take him his word and stand in the truth. Of course, give me a great opportunity to witness the hierarchy. But this morning there's great faith. Our faith this morning, never forget, is a holy faith. In Jude verse 20 it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We are to build up on that most holy faith. And it is by standing on our faith in adversity that we grow our faith, that we may stand the next time with greater confidence, and so on, we build it. Do we embrace difficulties as a chance to grow in our faith? So often, as the people of God, we'll ask the question, why? Why, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? Why? And the question we really need to be asking is not why, but what? What, Lord, do you want to teach me out of this? How do you want me to grow, Lord? What do I need to do that I might grow with you in this circumstance? But then there's this sincere faith. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5 it says, now the end of the commandment is charity, and out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. You see, Paul is saying to Timothy, faith must be real. There's no point in having faith in something that's totally false like an unbeliever does. The reality this morning is this faith of mine, it must be real. Now is it? Is it something tangible? Is it living? Is it evident? Is it something that others would desire? Do they look at that fellow and say, there's a boy with something I don't have and I want it? Or to just say there's a hypocrite because his faith is dead. How is my faith this morning the size of our faith? The second thing I want to bring to you is standing of faith. Now, this is something I have wrestled with all week, and I'm still not happy with it, but I'm just going to go with where I am this morning. I've tried to work this out, and we'll just let the Lord lead us here this morning. But how do we develop this faith? You see, salvation is a gift of God when we exercise faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Now, the Calvinists will come and tell you that we're so depraved, the total depravity of man, God needs to give you faith to come. That's absolute bunkum, and everybody here knows what I stand on that. But this morning, as we come and exercise faith to be saved, then we must exercise that faith to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and exercise it in our difficulties, as I've tried to allude already. By trusting Him today in some circumstances gives us the faith to trust Him tomorrow, and so on. We must develop our faith. We must develop our trust, and ultimately develop a total reliance on God. I suppose the best example I could come up with is how missionaries get to live by faith. Many of us here, all of us here, live depending on a wage packet coming in or a pension or whatever. The missionary out in the jungle isn't like that. He or she is depending by living on faith. And they get to that point where they're depending totally on God's storehouse and God's provision. But the reality this morning is God's storehouse is available to us all. In areas, all areas of our life, over and more than just financial. It's not just for the full-time worker. It's not just for the super spiritual. God's storehouse is available for us, and we need to have the faith to rely on Him and to let Him lead us in every aspect of our life. And the challenge to my heart is, do I rely on Him on everything? The size of our faith, the standing of our faith, quickly the striving for a deeper faith. One has said, so many Christians need a faith lift. Not a facelift now, a faith lift. I know I could probably do one of them, but that's something different. But a faith lift. In 2 Peter 1 and 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Like precious faith. So therefore we all have this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to grow it deeper, deeper every day. J. Charles Stern said this, faith is fostered by prayer. It is fortified by the study of the Word and fulfilled by our yielding moment by moment to the Lord Jesus Himself. Now let me repeat that. Faith, it's fostered by prayer. It's fortified by the study of the Word, and it's fulfilled by our yielding moment by moment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I ask myself, as I ask you, how many of us this morning have got to the place where we're deepening our faith? We're fostering it by real, deep, serious times of prayer. We're fortifying it by getting to know the Lord Jesus and the God of this book. And we're fortifying it then by fully submitting to every area of our life. Every area of our life now. Not just the bits we want to hand over, but every area of our life. If the answer is no, then we cannot claim to have great faith. We cannot claim to have a living faith. We cannot claim to have an evident faith. We cannot claim to have a tangible faith. We cannot claim to have a faith that's based on real, intimate, deep knowledge of Him this morning. The striving for deeper faith. Are we doing these things? Are we fortifying it? Are we fostering it? Are we fully submitting to Him? The size of our faith, the standing of our faith, the striving of our faith. But then there's this significant faith. Paul writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? In the power of God. Our faith needs to be based and rooted in the Lord. I don't have time this morning. We're in the chapter of the great men of faith this morning. Look at verse 8. Abraham was a man who fully trusted God when he didn't fully understand. By faith, Abraham was called to go out into a place which should after receive an inheritance of bed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. His faith was when he knew not where. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 21, he knew not how. And look at verse 17. By faith, when Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, that he had received the promise, and offered up his only begotten son. He knew not where, he knew not how, and he knew not why. Abraham had the faith to fully trust God when he didn't understand. Now do I this morning. What about Job? Facing absolute chaos. Family's gone. Farmhand's gone. Fortune's gone. Flocks are gone. His flesh is attacked by the boils. And what does Job say? Though he trust me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do I this morning? Fully when he didn't understand, Abraham facing absolute chaos. What about the three Hebrew children going into the fiery furnace? Daniel chapter 3 verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, they had the faith to trust God, even if not. And this morning, do I have the faith to trust him, even if things don't go the way I want them to go? What about Noah? Faithful for 120 years. 2 Peter 2 verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He had preached for 120 years. He'd never seen rain. He was mocked, he was scoffed, he was laughed at, but he built the ark. And he preached in righteousness. And out of the whole world, only 8 of them went in under that ark. Now, would I be a man that would be faithful like that? What about you this morning? Would he have that sort of faith this morning? Faith, when he didn't understand, he fully trusted. Facing absolute chaos, the fiery furnace, faithful to 120 years. What about Moses? He forsook Egypt. Verse 24 before us there this morning. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith. He forsook the good life. He forsook the palace. He forsook the pleasures of life. Forsook the life of his servants and the life of wealth. He sacrificed everything by faith. Would you and me this morning? By faith do we put everything on the altar for God? And do we give him everything? In every area. In every aspect of our life. That size of faith, the standing of faith, the striving for a deeper faith, the significant faith, finally, the strengthening of our faith. Faith comes this morning, firstly by receiving him, not saving faith. Maybe there's one on the internet this morning and you're not saved. John 1 and 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Unsaved person this morning, the starting point is to receive him in salvation. You have to receive him. You have to believe on his name. You've got to turn to him. This morning all you have to do is come. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is turn from your sin and repentance, and he will receive you. He will save you if you are prepared to receive him and cry simply, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the starting point. But for us as believers, we too have to receive him. Many of us never get past the starting point. And the reality this morning is worrying about something is not trusting him.
And we never read the Word of God in any depth, so we cannot grow therein. We never hand everything over to Him. We never yield our lives to Him. We never give Him our will. We never give our all to Him. And this morning the reality is we need to learn to receive Him and to give Him all things, everything, every day. So we grow and strengthen our faith by receiving Him. But then we grow and strengthen our faith by listening to Him. In Isaiah 55 and verse 3 it says, "Incline your ear and come near unto me, hear, and your soul will live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant unto you," and all the rest of it. "But come unto me and hear." I wonder this morning, if I was to go around the meeting starting with David, and don't worry, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ask us all how much time we've spent in prayer this time. And many of us would be embarrassed. You say a few cleeses first thing in the morning and a few cleeses at last thing at night, and somewhere along the road we'll maybe even take time to give a list of our desire and bring out our wish list and all the rest of it. That's not praying, friends. We really need to learn to get a hold of God this morning. And not only to get a hold of Him and to talk with Him, but to listen to what He says to me. Joseph Scriven's great hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Amen. Faith grows by receiving Him. It grows by listening to Him. It grows by hearing His word. You remember the word of Paul to the Romans in chapter 10 and verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Want to increase our faith? We need to hear the word of God. We need to get into the quiet place. We need to read it. We need to meditate it. We need to study it. And then we need to apply it. We need to come to the house of God. You know, the Lord can't speak to His people if they're not there. If you're not in the Bible study, if you're not in the meeting to minister the word, how can God speak to you this morning? We need to be in the house of God. We need to hear the word of God in the closet ourselves and in the public places where it's preached if we want our faith to grow. By receiving Him, by listening to Him, by hearing His word, and by looking unto Him. Isaiah 45 and verse 22 says, "Look unto me." Look unto me. And then it goes on to say, "Be ye saved, and all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else." But look unto Him. We as believers must look unto Him. Just the same as a person needs to look to Him for salvation. We need to look to Him for help. We need to look to Him when the trouble comes. Do we look to Him this time the way we did the last time? We must do it every circumstance, every time, without exception. We must look unto Him. Or do we just look to ourselves and our intelligence and our circle of friends? Brethren, we'll never increase our faith that way. We must look unto Him. How do we increase our faith? By receiving Him, by listening to Him, by hearing His word, by looking unto Him. And it's by doing so, by believing, we will prove Him. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, as those great words, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord. I wonder how many of us, myself included, when dark and difficult days come, do we look at it as an opportunity to prove Him? Or is it just get through these difficult days? Do we look at it as a means to prove our God, to prove our Saviour, and to show that He's real to those who believe not, who are watching on? Or do we never even think of turning to Him? How's your faith this morning? Great faith? Or little faith? Or no faith? Or a shattered faith? Let's learn to turn and prove Him and trust Him and grow our faith that we might be faithful witnesses to those who watch on. May the Lord bless these simple thoughts and hearts this morning.
I didn't bring that book up. What was that number?
one of the
what was the number?
Sorry,
397.
397,
okay, thanks.